Last Lord's Day was New Year's Eve, and we are 1 week into the new year. James, in his epistle, tells us we do not know what a day may bring forth. Well, if we do not know what a day may bring forth, certainly we don't know what a week will bring forth, much less a month. Well, we don't know what a year is going to bring forth. Think back over some of the years of your life. Some of us have more years accumulated than others. But what about last year? What did that year bring forth that you were not anticipating? Something happened. Maybe loss of money. Maybe an injury. Maybe some other difficulty or trial came to your life last year or the year before. I want us to open our Bibles to James, chapter 1. And let's begin reading with verse 1. James, that's who wrote the book of James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. Greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect, that really means mature, and complete, lacking in nothing. James, who is this James? Well, he happens to be the brother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Think of that. But I want you to think of something else. Notice what it says at the beginning of verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. James is declaring himself to be a bondservant of his own brother, Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means he grew up with that, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and never in that period of time ever witnessed anything in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ that would be reason for James not to consider him as having total authority over his life. Where have you ever seen that between two brothers? Do you get the implication? James was a very, very observant and perceptive man, I believe, because James shares with us something that is beneficial to each of us sitting here today, regardless of your background, regardless of your education, regardless of your age, regardless of your family, regardless of your neighborhood. Some of you know what it is. At some time in your life, you will confront trials, hard times, difficulties, testings are part of your life. I don't know what else you face this year. Perhaps some many, many, many blessings. God will be gracious. Bless you in ways that you will remember for the rest of your life. Maybe some very deep, deep, trying times. At the time James wrote this, there were numerous Jews living in the Gentile world. There were conflicts, many. Think of the Jews and the Gentiles. Many of the Jews have been displaced. Many suffered hardship regularly. Now, there were various, what we would call, pockets of Jews in the Gentile realm. And James writes a letter to them because they were suffering. And he wanted to instruct them and encourage them and help them. It is very instructive to see what he wrote. James begins with a subject that not only the Jews in those days should be interested in. James wrote on a subject that you and I ought to be interested in and concerned about, and that is approaching difficulties and trials at some point in our life, and what are you going to do about it? How are you going to handle it? Are you going to become bitter and hardened because I didn't get treated right, it wasn't fair, what happened to me? James begins with a very important subject, and it is this: the absolute certainty of trials. How many? I don't know. When? I don't know. But I do know this: it's not if, it's when those trials will come. Perhaps it's your school. Perhaps it's a job. Perhaps it's your career. Perhaps it's your family. Perhaps it's your marriage. Perhaps it's your health. But you will face trials. Now, what does James tell us? James says, consider it all joy. That's pretty astounding. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren. He doesn't mean his carnal brothers. He's writing to the believers. You know, we as believers call each other brother. Why do we do that? Because we have the same Heavenly Father. Michael here is my brother, because we have the same Lord and Savior. And James is writing to other believers, my brethren. And what's he writing about? Well, the topic he's writing about happens to be these trials. And notice he calls them various. Why? Because they come in a variety of ways. But there's a little word I want you to look at. And I want you to think about it. It's the word when. When. Why is that word important? Because what James is saying is this. You're going to face trouble. It's not if. There's no if, ands, or buts about it. It's if. It's when. When? Whenever you encounter trials. He's assuming that every Christian will come up against it. Maybe next week. Maybe a year from now. You will have tribulation. It's a fact. What are we going to do about it? Suddenly, unexpectedly, things fall apart. What next? Well, it happened to Job, didn't it? One right after the other. Non-stop. And something similar could become our experience in life. James said, consider it joy. What? What are you talking about, James? You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't know the troubles, the heartaches, the disappointments, the stress, the anguish. And you're telling me to count it joy? What's going on, James? Be real, man. That doesn't make sense. Are you kidding? The first thing I want us to see is what we need to do. First of all, what does he say? Consider. Do some thinking about this situation. Do some self-examination about it. Bring that trial into the knowledge of God and of His Word. View that trial from a biblical perspective. You're looking at it from your own selfish desires and ends and goals in life. And all of a sudden things are not going well. My little world is turned upside down. Things are not going according to the way I planned. I lost my job. I owe for my new car. I don't have money to pay for it. It's all about my little world, my plans, me and mine. James says, hey, wait a minute here. Wait, hold on. Consider it all joy, my brethren. James, how do you do that? Tell me, how do you do that? And you know what James tells us? By the way, James is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which means this is not just some two-bit opinion James happens to have. It's the inspired Word of God. And it comes with all, not just the authority of the Apostle James, the authority of God Himself. And what is that word? Consider it. Think. Think biblically. Think from a biblical perspective. Now, there's another word he uses. Knowing. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren. Knowing. Knowing what? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. What does all of that mean? Well, it basically means God is a God of purpose. And God has a purpose for the difficulty and the trial and the testing you're going through. It didn't just happen because you had some bad luck. I've said it before. Now's a good time to say it again. Get the word luck out of your vocabulary. There is no such thing as luck. God is sovereign, and He is in charge, and He is in control, and He is working all things after the counsel of His own will. Get the word luck out of your vocabulary. There's neither good luck nor bad luck. There is no luck. There's a God who is sovereignly controlling every detail of your life. And He is a God of purpose. He's not just letting this happen and that happen for no reason at all. God has a purpose. And knowing that puts your test in a different category. It's not just bad luck that happened to me. It's a God who is in control of bringing about something in my life that He wants for my very own good and my development in the Christian life. You see, the way to joy is through thought. Think about it. And that requires discipline, determination. Now, how does the joy come? The joy comes because I sit down and I give myself purposefully and on target to meditate, to think, and to consider. In other words, it is a process that brings you to a biblical conclusion. Paul and Silas, do you remember this? They were put in prison. Do you know why they were put in prison? Because they preached. And people didn't like the preaching. The authorities didn't like the preaching. So they said, well, shut them up. We'll put them in jail. So they put them in jail. After beating them. I've been in employment in my lifetime, a good bit of my lifetime, dealing with people who are in trouble, in jails and in prison. There's no way of comparing what jails and prison are today to what these guys were facing. In a filthy dungeon. You know what they were doing? They were singing. They were singing praises to God. What's wrong with those guys? They ought to be hollering and complaining and making a fuss, griping, singing at midnight. Well, it's not clear to us whether they were singing because they were joyful, or singing to help them rise above the situation, getting their minds on the Lord. And by the way, I put this in as a parenthesis. One of the ways to have real joy in your heart is by the singing of hymns. And again, I thank God for the good, solid, well-written hymns that we have. Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is to be singing one of the great hymns that we have? I remember one time at Trinity singing hymn number 69 for the first time in my whole life. And by the time I got to the second stanza, tears were streaming down my cheek. Not tears because my shoes were too tight. Tears, not of sadness, but of the reality of the joys of God Himself speaking to me through His Word. The truth of His Word registering in my heart. I tell you, dear friend, there's nothing like that when you're worshiping God. These men knew what it was. In the midst of deep persecution, and they were innocent, singing. You know what they were doing? They were counting it all joy. That's what they were doing. And that's biblical. And they knew what they were doing. Turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34. Hebrews 10:34. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners. And look at this. accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. He's writing to the Christians who were under persecution. Look at this. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and you accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. What's the next word? Knowing. Knowing what? Knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. Who in America today would take joyfully the spoiling of their goods? Historically, this sort of thing has happened. And I'm here to tell you, dear people, true Christianity is not a gloomy religion, because believers find joy in the midst even of their trials through what they know. What do you know? That would bring joy out of difficulty and trials. Well, think biblically. How can you suffer and have joy at the same time? What is it that James is saying? James is saying, it's what you know. It's what you know. The testing's come. What do you know about it? This you know. God is testing your faith. God is testing your faith. When we were in Hermosillo to establish the Bible Institute, I had occasion to fly with different missionary pilots. One was a pilot who flew out of Tucson, and he was a bush pilot, which meant in a few weeks working in Alaska, he could make enough money to live the rest of the year. But he was a very experienced pilot. And on one occasion, he was transporting a patient who had become, a lady who had become ill and needed very rapid medical attention. And so he was there and he was going to fly her from Sonora into Tucson. And for some reason, I don't know the answer to that, except that he was low on gas. And you know what he did? He tipped the plane upward. And the gas stored in the wings drained and in to where it was accessible to the engine. And he flew in to Nogales on what gas he could get drained out of the wing. Experienced pilot. An unexperienced pilot, do you know what probably would have happened? They would have gone down in flames. Experience built something into that pilot. And he was aware of how to remedy the situation. And you know, he told me, he said, I've learned this from experience. And God wants to build something into your life. What is it that God wants to do in your life? I don't know. It's up to you to find out and determine that as you spend time in prayer and thinking and reading His Word. But according to this, it's let that experience work its way into your heart and life and produce patience and endurance. What is endurance? Do you know? It's perseverance. It's sticking it out. It's enduring the trials and the difficulties year after year on your way to heaven. And it comes as a product of God building that into your life through allowing this trial or this difficulty. God is at work in your life. He's showing you something. He's teaching you something. He's bringing about something in your character that He wants to be there for the future, for the days ahead. Knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be mature, lacking nothing. Well, Happy New Year. Yeah, Happy New Year. And I hope you have a lot of joys and a lot of genuine happiness. But the trials will come. They will come. And I want to tell you, as your pastor, I'm going to tell you something. God has a purpose for you. And you, and you. Each of us as individuals. God wants to mold and to make us into the people He wants us to be. So, let's get aboard to put it on the simple language with a pilot that's had some experience. And benefit from the trials that come our way this year. They are coming. Of that you can be sure. Let's pray. Father, as we face the new year, we pray that you will help us to be realistic and biblical about the various difficulties and trials that we face. Perhaps some are sitting here today that are going through some of those trials that we spoke of. Help us, Lord, to keep in mind that the trying, even of our faith, is more precious than gold. We pray that we will be mindful and aware that God, our God, is working in our life for our good. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.